Hey, y'all, welcome back to episode 171 of the Late Night Vision Show, your source for all the late breaking, fast breaking news in the night vision and thermal world. We are happy to be back with you. As always, I've got the owner of Outdoor Legacy, Mr. Jason Robertson. How you doing, bud?
I am doing good tonight. How are you, Hans?
So ask me how I'm doing. Everybody out there probably notices I sound like I'm talking through a piece of cloth or something, but I took my family. We're going to get into the show really quick here, but just so you know why I'm sounding terrible, took my family to what's called the happiest place on earth, Disney World. Turns out it's the most expensive place on earth, and went for 7 days, came back with a cold. And so I sound terrible. I don't feel bad. I just don't sound great. But I am happy to be on the show today. Episode 171. We are reviewing the IRA Bolt TL35. I'm going to tell you what, Jason, this is, everybody wants to know about it. I mean, people have been calling, people want us to do the review on it. There's a lot to talk about, a lot of things to know. And, we're going to jump right into it here with the full review.
Let's get into this. Hans, you know, you've got a unit there. I've got one here as well. I'm going to let you hold yours up and show it so people can see what it looks like here. And Hans will be doing a kind of a walk around and some discussion about that in a minute. I want to kind of preface this and talk about this. If you're looking at this scope, you know, it is, again, the IRA Bolt TL35. It's in a 30 millimeter scope tube housing. Looks like a traditional daytime scope. I think we need to go ahead and talk about the elephant in the room. Anybody that is familiar with the thermal industry is going to know that this looks very recognizable. It looks like a Pulsar Thermion optic. And it does. It looks very, very similar. There is no question about that. And we, you know, we don't want to act like that doesn't exist. I think the similarities, you know, that's a bone to pick between Pulsar and, you know, InfraRay or iRay. It's not our business. We're here to review what we believe are high quality thermal optics that are great for hunters and the hunting community. And we believe this is one of those optics. And so, we do understand there's a lot of similarities. I will say that there is some pretty major differences in some of the ways they function, some of the menus, some of the options, different things. And if you're looking at this and you listen to this review and you think, man, this sounds really good, I wonder how this compares to, you know, XYZ, one of the Pulsar Thermion models or whatever, feel free to give us a call. Hans and I will be glad to go over the pros and the cons, the strong points of each of these optics, and then let you make your decision. At the end of the day, it's your money, and you need to make the decision that is right for you. And we feel like there are more great thermal optics than ever on this market for you to choose from. And our goal on the Late Night Vision Show is to present these optics to you in a way that's very detailed, that gives you all the information about them. And if you, again, want to know of some more in-depth of how does this scope compare to this scope, or how what is this going to look like in these exact conditions, that's where you call Outdoor Legacy and talk to Hans or I, and we're glad to help. And shameless plug, go ahead now. That phone number is 877-350-1818. The website is outdoorlegacygear.com. We're glad to help. But with that said, I want to go ahead and jump in to this review. I want to start by going down the specs on this unit. Again, it is the InfraRay Bolt TL35. It is sold by iRay USA here in the United States. It is the cost on it is $3,299, so $3,299. It is a 384 by 288 resolution at 12 microns. It's got a 50 hertz refresh rate. It is using the Matrix 3 processing that some of the other iRay units use. It's got a 35 millimeter objective lens. It's a 3-power base magnification. It's got a digital zoom that goes all the way up to 12 power. The horizontal field of view at 100 yards is 39 foot. iRay says that it has a detection range of 1,750 yards. And that's a detection, not identification. That is detecting heat. It's got an LCOS display. It has got white hot, black hot, red hot, and a color highlight mode. It has 7 reticle options. 2 are dynamic, 5 are static. It's got 4 reticle color options, black, white, red, and green. Again, as I already mentioned, it's in a 30 millimeter scope tube housing. So a normal 30 millimeter scope ring or a single piece mount of a standard height will work just fine on this. It does have picture in picture. It's got video and still image recording, no audio. It does have streaming to a smartphone app that works with both Android and Apple. It's got external USB power, USB-C, I'm sorry. You can plug in that to power it up or to charge it. Startup time is less than 10 seconds. It's instant if you're in a standby mode. Weight on it is almost 33 ounces, 32.87. It's in an aluminum housing. It is an IPS67 waterproof rating. That means it is fully submersible to 3 feet for 30 minutes. -4 degrees Fahrenheit is the temperature rating, and it's got a recoil rating of up to a 300 Win Mag or a 7 millimeter mag. So a lot of your larger calibers are going to be included there. And it's got a 5-year warranty. That is the IRA USA warranty that we've talked about this on some of the other reviews. It is a full 5 years, and they have a 5-day policy where their policy is to repair or replace your scope within 5 business days or less of receiving it. So I explain that to people. What that exactly means is if you sent your scope back to them and they get that scope on Tuesday, okay, so UPS delivers it Tuesday afternoon. They have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday. So that gives them 5 full business days to work on that. And their policy is that by that next day, whatever I said, Thursday, Friday, whatever it was, right, the next business day, they should have something back in the you know, UPS or FedEx, either a replacement or repair. So a lot of times it's sooner than that. But that is their policy of what they're attempting to do. So for what that's worth, that is the quick rundown. I did not talk about the batteries. We're going to get into that in just a few minutes. I want to really kind of explain that in some more detail.
Yeah, and my good buddy, the boss, Mr. Jason Robertson, sent the scope to me, or I got the scope you know, from our warehouse. So it was ours. We take them off the shelf and we test them before. He said, Hans, I want you to take this, Bolt TL35. I want you to shoot it 50 times with the 308 and make sure that this thing, holds zero with the recoil and all that. So I used a 13-inch 308 AR10, shot it 50 times.
Unsuppressed.
And I'm going to tell you, folks, that was not fun at all.
It was also like 2 o'clock on a Sunday, and it was 101 degrees. You called me like after church, and you just sounded miserable.
It was the worst. I shot this thing, y'all. Now, I will say this. It was mounted in the American Defense Manufacturing one-piece QD mount. And this nice scope mount that we use, 30 millimeter set of rings, ADM mount. You can find it in Outdoor Legacy sells it. But that was the worst. I'm going to tell you this. I really was starting to question my role on this show, my role in this industry, because 50 shots unsuppressed with a short barreled AR-10. Pretty sure I chipped a tooth because of it. I can't prove it, but it was.
I'm waiting for the dental bill.
Yeah, but what I did send you the ammo bill. So Jason did get billed for the ammo.
I did pay for all the ammo. That's true.
It was, y'all 308. I shot 50 times, sighted it in 50 yards, shot it 50 times. On that 50th shot, shot on target again, and it was actually I took 4 more shots after the 50 shots just to test it, and it's dead on. I mean, it can hold the recoil. There's no doubt about it. Now, I'll say this. I tested it in a good mount, so I would suggest you get a good mount for this or any, any scope that you take 30 millimeter rings. I put this in a daytime. I do have this in daytime optics in this scope mount, so I use it for anything I can. But to walk around the scope, as you can see, it's got a 35 millimeter objective lens. It does have a focusable objective lens, so you can focus the image there. It has an eyepiece diopter focus. As you can see, again, I'll mention it one more time, the American Defense Manufacturing one-piece QD mount. It's got two throw levers. Thing is solid as a rock. It is not going anywhere. You can take the scope off, sight it in, take it off, put it back on the rail on top of your AR or top of your bolt-action Picatinny rail rifle, and it will save your zero. It's got your menu dial or your menu wheel right here on top. The good thing about this, I think, is when you turn, it makes a little clicking noise. So I don't know. It just kind of sounds cool. I like the way it sounds. I don't know if it really serves a great function or a purpose. I just think it sounds cool. It's like putting a baseball card in your scope on your bicycle. Like, it makes just a cool noise. Oh, my
gosh. You're showing your age now.
I know, right? You've got your battery compartment. So I don't know if you did mention, you've got a laundry list of specs. I can tell that you wrote these up tonight and not me, because
exactly.
I skip over about half of what you do. It's got the internal batteries, and then it has a compartment for an external battery that takes an 18-6500, which almost looks like
takes an 18-500.
Oh, I added a six. I'm sorry. Yeah. 18,500.
Yeah. That did I'll get sound into right. the batteries. Yeah. Y'all let me handle the batteries. Hans, you just keep walking around to kick some more tires.
But it does. It's a shorter, 18,650 is what it,
you're going to confuse everybody. Ignore everything he says about the batteries, folks. No, I'm teasing. I'll talk about them in a minute.
And then on the opposite side. So again, menu wheel on top, you got your extra battery here on the side. And then you, on the other side, you've got your USB port where you can plug it in, connect the scope to the computer if you like to. There's also Wi-Fi streaming to an app, which I know is pretty good, pretty reliable as far as the app services. Heard a lot of good things about it and hadn't had any issues at all. And then you got your main function buttons right here by the eyepiece. There's four buttons: power button, magnification camera, and it's got your different
quick brightness,
quick function deal there. So anyway, that's a walk around. Let's get into the battery thing before we get everything
before you
confused.
Screw anything else up. So all right,
don't listen to me when it comes to model numbers. I'm gonna tell you that, because I will give you the wrong
he will
model
give
number
you the wrong number. You'll be sending back all the wrong stuff.
I know what I'm talking about. I don't do a good job of describing. It's my wife complains about the same thing, so
it's true.
I give her like half the information she needs on
I was giving Hans a hard time. So I want to explain the battery situation real quick. This is actually pretty darn impressive. So I think I know we're going to get into a little bit later in the review our likes and our dislikes and our general thoughts, but I can't hide the fact that I have to admit this battery deal is impressive. So there is an internal non-removable battery. So it is laying horizontally in the scope tube, and that battery, again, it's not something that you can take out, but it is rechargeable. And there's also a battery, which I don't know, Hans, are you going to show this or you want me to, where the battery is on the side? Can you unscrew that?
I'm going to unscrew it.
The battery, it's a housing, or it's a compartment where the battery goes in from the side. Okay.
Yeah.
And that battery does not come with a scope. As of the recording of this, in summer of 2021, there's no battery that comes with it. The external battery is optional. It's something you need to go purchase. Now, I'm going to show you, I got up a while ago. So if y'all saw me get up and walk off, I grabbed this battery. I could see an 18650. I know it's my second time ever to do that. It's 171 shows. Give me a break. No, but I could see an 18650 battery over there. You were talking about them. So this is an 18650 battery, and this is an 18500 battery. This is the battery that will go in the top, or I'm sorry, not the top, but the side of the scope. Now, what I want to be clear on, when you go buy one of these batteries, it has to be a flat top. It cannot have what they call a button top on it, you know, the little bump that sticks up. If it has that, it will not fit. Ask me how I know. It has to be a flat top. I mean, I'm just trying to save you the frustration and the cost that I
really
spent.
Want to ask you why, you know, but we'll, yeah, we'll continue on.
You can continue.
It sounds
on.
Like you tried to put a round peg in a square hole or something. Yeah.
Not me. No. So with that said, again, flat top 18500. Now, So this is a rechargeable battery. And again, it is removable. It goes into the side and you screw that cap on. Now, I did a bench test, and the bench test, is that's what I call it when I do battery life test. And what those are is I charge the scope completely up and I start a stopwatch on my phone. I turn the scope on at the same instant and I let it go. And I carry that thing around with me. The worst that I'll do is I'll turn it off. If I've got to leave, go to lunch, or I got a meeting or something, I will turn it off for that. But normally it would not be, you know, turned off and turned back on more than once or twice. Obviously, I would stop the stopwatch. And then I have to babysit it when it gets down near the end, because you got to sit there and keep looking through it, so that you can be watching when it goes off.
I'll take it, but I'd rather do recoil tests than battery tests. I do hate that. That is the worst.
It's babysitting, because what happens is
sitting there,
you forget about it. You know, you're going for hours and you're like looking at it. Then you get up and do something. You come back 20 minutes later and it's off and you have no idea when it went off.
Exactly.
And Hans and I are too OCD. We're too honest. We're not going to go, well, it probably went 10 minutes. We're going to start completely over. Yeah. So anyway, I don't like it either. With that said, I got on the internal non-removable battery, I got 9 hours, 59 minutes, and 30 seconds. I think we can round that up to 10 hours on that battery. That is outrageously good. Blew my mind. Again, I want to be clear. On my bench test, that is not recording. That's not running Wi-Fi. That's not zooming the scope. That's not playing with the menus. All those things that you're going to be doing in the field, turning it off and on a lot, colder temperatures, again, using the function, which, you know, functions and menus and all that uses processing power, and it's going to burn more battery. But 10 hours on the bench is outrageously good. Now, I took and I bought these little cheap 18500 batteries. I found these online. I think I bought a box of four of these, and they were something like $13 or $14 or $15. It was under $20, well under $20 for four of them. I had absolutely no faith in what this was going to do. If you would have asked me before I started this how long I thought the battery life was going to be, I'd have said an hour, hour and 10 minutes. I actually got 4 hours and 10 minutes off of this rechargeable battery. Now, let me just, because somebody's going to ask, this is a cheap no-name battery. Claims it's a 600 milliamp hour. I normally don't believe those little batteries. I always think they're probably less milliamp hours than they say, but that says 600, and I got 4 hours and 10 minutes for a grand total of 14 hours. Folks, that's a lot of battery life. If this battery got me 4 hours and only cost me $3, I would throw it away. I mean, I'm sure it's cheap. I doubt it's going to last for 100 charges, but good gravy. If it only lasted for 5 or 10, or I don't know, I've charged them up 4 or 5 times, haven't had any trouble with it. So battery life is really, really good on this optic. And I want to be clear, everybody, when you hear this and you go 14 hours and you go out in the field and you don't get 14 hours, again, using them like that, it is going to come down. Cold weather is definitely going to bring that down. Another thing, and this is worth mentioning, testing these batteries is an exact science, but I have found over the years of testing a lot of optics that not every battery is exactly the same. I might test, you know, four of these little 18500 batteries. I may get 4 hours and 10 minutes on one. I may get 3.5 on another. Mm. Same thing with this internal battery here. I have seen fluctuations of anywhere from 10 to 25% between two scopes or two batteries. So don't be surprised if yours may get somewhere less or somewhere more than that. But anyway, very, very good battery life.
Yeah. So, with that being said, we're going to move on. Let me pull up my, dang it. Where's my show notes?
You lost your show notes. Well, I can tell you what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about ID ranges, and I want to say something to this too. We have had this optic for a good long time. You know, I've got one that I'm running. Hans has got one he's running. Our pro staffer Patrick right now has got one that he's running. We actually had this optic back in 2020, but the end of the year and the beginning of 2021. This was a unit that iRay had sent us an early, you know, demo unit to test. And I had it for several months just playing around with it. And so we've had a lot of time behind these units. And, you know, so we want to just kind of go in and tell you what you can expect on identification ranges. And this is something that Hans and I always kind of, we don't talk about this beforehand. We like to see what the other person says. So I'm going to dump this on you. What do you think on an ID range on this, you know, three power optic?
That's why when I lost my whole computer power down, I had my show notes up. That's why I was looking back because I'm like, oh, am I supposed to run with the ball? And apparently I am supposed to run with the ball. We did not talk about ID ranges at all. You know, and sometimes we try to get the answer out of each other and a lot of times it doesn't work. But we have had this scope for quite a while. And I'm going to say realistically, this is a three power base magnification unit, a 384 resolution. I'm going to say realistically, the ID range is probably going to be conservatively 300 yards.
Yeah, I think very conservative. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I think, you know, it could definitely stretch in its legs out. Could see better than that, further than that on a nicer night. But I mean, you should be able to get consistently, I would say, 300 yards out of it. Any target you're trying to look at.
Yeah, I think that with, and again, Hans and I like to give these numbers as conservative numbers. We don't like to you know, put some big, huge number out there. A lot of people that are buying these, maybe their first time looking through thermal, and there's some experience that comes along with that. A guy who's been looking through a lot of thermals for a lot of years, who's been night hunting for a lot of years, knows what the animals look like in thermal, he may be able to make a 90-95% judgment, you know, with the scope at 400-500 yards that we might normally say, oh, it's got a positive ID of 3, but you're kind of doing some process of elimination and, again, just figuring things out. But I agree. 3-350, I'm very comfortable with. Image quality is outstanding. You do have that 3-power magnification that's going to help you at those longer ranges. I was actually messing with it tonight before we started this review. And it's just a typical hot August night, humid, and it was looking really, really good. So yeah, I'm going to be, yeah. And when we say ID range, folks, we're talking specifically about hogs and coyotes, you know, and obviously larger animals would be further than that. A deer is going to be further than 300 yards because it's got a distinctive look, a deer or a cow or a calf or, you know, something like that. But we're talking about hogs and coyotes, the two main smaller, you know, animals that most of, you know, our customers would be actually hunting.
Right. So likes and dislikes. Now, this is the part of the show that sometimes we feel like it gets repetitive. We don't want it to get repetitive like that. There are some great things about this scope. There's one distinct thing, though, that I think is important for everybody to know. I wouldn't call it a huge negative, but let's do this. Jason, why don't you run down your likes Because our likes are very similar. I know you're going
to
talk
about... Well, let's do the... I don't ever like doing the dislikes last. I like to get... Okay, I'm the bad news first kind of guy. So let's talk about the dislikes.
I'll go over the thing to me that...
I know what you're going to say. We both agree on it. So go for it.
Well, when Jason and I first looked at this thing, looking through the eyepiece of the scope, it will remind you, if you look through this, you hold it up to your eye, like looking through a daytime optic in regards to eye relief. You know, if you are used to using thermal optics, if you've used multiple thermal optics, if you've only used one thermal optic before, when you look at the screen, your face and your eye doesn't have to be perfectly positioned behind that viewfinder screen for you to be able to see the screen. You can have your head tilted to the left, to the right, a little bit up, a little bit down. It doesn't matter. Now, you may not be able to see all of the image because of where your head's tilted, but you can still see part of the screen. Now, when you line your eye up perfectly, again, you'll be able to see all of the screen. The way that this is different, this eyepiece is what, like I said, similar to what you would experience with a daytime optic, meaning your eye has to be perfectly positioned behind the red or behind the eyepiece for you to be able to see that image at all. If you tilt your head or cock your head a little bit to the right or a little bit to the left, or it's not perfectly positioned, you will see black. You will see nothing mm-hmm. at all. I will say this. When you hold it up, not mounted on a rifle,
yeah,
it seems a lot worse. When you secure that thing down, when you lock it into a mount, when you lock it to your rifle, it's not bad. But we both want you to know, when you pull the scope out, if you have any experience with other thermal optics and you see this, you're like, whoa, what's going on here? That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's designed. It is, if you use daytime optics, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. But the eye relief is set up in a way where your eye has to be perfectly positioned behind the optic.
I want to say this real quick to speak to that. 100% agree. That was going to be my number one thing that I was going to say on the dislike, or, you know, just the one thing I think that's so different. And everybody who's called me and we've talked about these scopes, I've told them, all the customers that have bought them, I've warned them. I will say this, out of everyone that I've sold one of these scopes to, no one has mentioned it. No one's called and complained about it. I've talked to several of these guys. I love the scope. They're super happy. And a couple of them, I even kind of, which sometimes, you know, you don't wake a sleeping dog, but I'm like, hey, what did you think about that eyepiece? Because I want to get that feedback. They're not mentioning it. And everyone, I'm like, once I mounted it, you know, I get a cheek weld. It's just fine. It's like a daytime scope. No big deal at all. And I feel the same way. And this was something I was explaining on the phone to a customer today. I use, and I know Hans is probably this way as well, the optics that we test, I test them a huge amount of the time off the rifle, even after I've been hunting with them or whatever. Because for me, especially the way that I am, I've got my gun safe in my bedroom, and at any time, I'll have anywhere from 6 to 10 thermal optics up there, a lot of them scopes, and I'm going, looking off my back porch over and over and over all night, looking out there across my fields for hogs and coyotes and deer and hogs and whatever's out there. And it's easier for me to grab a scope, you know, in my hand and go look through it and, you know, spend 2 or 3 minutes behind it and go put it up. And I can do that over and over. So it gives me easier than holding the rifle up, obviously. So it gives me a lot more experience and time behind these optics. So I'm used to doing that, and there is no question that when you hold it up, it's really not hard to look through it. But what I find is when I move my head, and I don't move my hands perfectly, and then I lose that. And so it was one of the first things I noticed, you know, back in late 2020 or early 2021 when we got this, you know, the early demo to look at. I noticed that as soon as I mounted it on a rifle, that concern kind of went away. And so it's just not something that I really noticed after that. So anyway, I don't want to beat the dead horse. I think Hans is right. I'm going to mention another negative. I say negative. I don't think it's a negative. It's just something. I shouldn't have said negative. I said dislike. Seems kind of strange. I don't know what it is. There's something, and I'm going to hold this up. There's something about this rear eyepiece that feels large to me. I don't know why. The screen is pretty large inside of there. And to me, it just feels larger than it should be. I don't know. I mean, it's, I'm being nitpicky, but
that is nitpicky.
That's it okay. is, but that's what we're here for. All right, I'm going to tell you one more thing. I don't really, it's not a bother, but it's kind of strange. They put this, so as Hans mentioned in his walk around, you've got your recording button, you've got your power button, you've got your, what is this other button? Was that so my picture in picture?
Brightness.
And then this brightness. I don't know why that's there. I just ignore it, so it's no problem, but I don't really need to quickly change my brightness. That just seemed like a odd thing to randomly stick there. Again, I don't press it. If I do, it doesn't hurt anything. It doesn't really get in the way. I think that would just be kind of a strange thing. Other than that, I don't really have any other dislikes. I mean, the scope, the menu system, I think is simple to use. I don't think it's difficult. I think it's, you know, an all metal housing. I think it's built well. I'm going to go on into my likes since I've been talking about all my.
It definitely doesn't. It's built, does feel like it is built well. Doesn't feel cheap.
Yeah, it's built solid for sure. I think the biggest thing, I've already harped on it, is the battery life. You know, Hans and I will always bring up, we would prefer to not have an internal battery, but that's the way that the thermal industry is going with a lot of manufacturers, is internal battery. It's a way to affordably get you long battery life or longer battery life. I mean, and again, kind of go back to it. If it didn't have that internal battery, what would you have? 3 or 4 hours. So who would trade that off? So it just is what it is. But I do like the battery life. I like this, the fact that I can use this L cheapo, you know, 18,500 battery that is literally dirt cheap. It is kind of a strange battery. You're not going to go buy one of those at Walmart. Okay. This is not a common rechargeable battery, but you can find them online. And I think that's a big deal to me, is to be able to get a pocket full of those batteries charged up, and they're affordable. I would have those things in my hunting bag. I would have some in my truck. I would just have them with me all the time. And I think for me, that's another big like.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with all that. The battery is huge. The battery life, that's one thing that I will say, that when people call and ask about thermal, night vision, all that, you know, all the different types of optics, battery life is a big thing for scopes that include or have rechargeable batteries. They want to know, how long can I expect to get out of this? And some people are like, if it doesn't run 8 or 10 hours, I don't even want to touch it. And I'm always like, man, if you're hunting that long, I mean, you're hunting longer than me on a certain night, you know, but yeah, people want to know how long it's going to last. This thing will last for a very, very long time. That's got to be one of the biggest likes, along with the picture image. The picture image on it's very, very good. You know, if you've heard us talk about, you know, you heard us talk about the IRA Ricoh, the 384 and the 640, both of them, very good picture image. We've done reviews of both of those. I've done reviews on my YouTube channel where you can actually see through the optic video and see kind of experience what the picture quality and what it looks like. You know, IRA does have optics with very good picture image. There's no doubt about it. So all of those in conjunction with each other make for a lot of positive things to talk about. I'll point to back to the recoil testing that I did, just to make sure that people understand that, you know, for shooting a 308 50 times, and it held, that's impressive for the scope.
Unsuppressed.
Yeah. They're unsuppressed. It's impressive for the scope and for the mount. So it's kind of giving kudos to both.
We're big American Defense, you know, fans. Obviously, y'all know that if you listen to us.
Yeah, exactly. But all those likes are important. And like we talked about, the couple things that were dislikes for us, are things that you need to know. And again, if you have any questions about this optic and how it compares to the other IRA optics that are out right now, the Ricohs, the 384 and the 640. And Jason, you know, we're going to be doing the review.
Bravo. That's the new Bravo market.
IRA's got, they're making a splash, and you know, people want to know, well, what's the difference between this and the new Bravo that's coming out? And we're going to have a lot more information on that. So if there's, if you're wanting to do some comparisons on some of the other IRA products, we're going to be able to talk about that. You can give us a call, because we, the Bravo is something I'm excited about. I know this is the Bolt review, but I'm excited about the Bravo.
You're
too.
Going off the Bravo. We're not done with this, and we're running out of time. We have a very short amount of time left.
Let's talk about who this is good for. I'm going to say this. It's a 3-power base magnification. It's a 384 scope. A little bit higher base magnification than some of the other 384 scopes out there, but it has less magnification than the IRA Rico 384, which is a 4-power. So this IRA Bolt is a 3-power. I'm going to say that this scope has a very general purpose and all-around usage for people out there that are that like to coyote. If you coyote hunt primarily, I think that this could be a great scope for you, because 3-power base magnification still has a decent and wide enough field of view that if you take a shot and a coyote runs and you got to take follow-up shots, you can do so. Also, picture-in-picture. It's a tool that I use a lot. This optic does have picture-in-picture display. To me, that is an important feature for any scope. It's a tool that I use a lot and I like, and especially like it for coyote hunting. So, coyote hunters, I think this is something that you could do. For anybody out there that feels more comfortable shooting behind something that looks like a daytime optic, there's a lot of people out there that are daytime, that are daytime hunters that are crossing over into thermal for the first time. They don't really know what to expect. They don't know how it looks or how it feels. They're concerned how it's going to feel on their rifle. This scope is designed, why they call it a Bolt is because it's designed for, you can use it on an AR platform. It works just fine on an AR platform. But it, you know, for people out there that have bolt action rifles, this is set up in a way that you can mount this on your bolt action rifle and have it fit and feel similar to your daytime optic. So if you are in the boat of, I like the way, you know, a regular tube optic or scope feels, that's what I want to mount. And I've got this, you know, special bolt action rifle that I've got to put these special rings on to fit over, you know, the ejection port on it, then, you know, this is something that you're probably going to like and probably, you know, get a lot of use of, positive use of, and well-purposed use out of, even if you're a coyote hunter or a hog hunter, because I think there's a crossover there in between both. Or if you're like me, if you do a lot of both, you know, coyote and hog hunting, these days it's pretty split 50-50, which type of hunting I'm going to do. I like 3-power. Jason likes a little bit less. I know if you listen to the show a lot, you hear this talk a lot. Jason likes a little bit less magnification. I like a little bit more because I do a lot of coyote hunting. And, you know, as far as with hog hunting too, a lot of people out there that are also crossing over from daytime optics are used to higher base magnification, and they feel more comfortable when they're taking a tighter shot on a hog at 50 yards or a coyote at 50 yards. They just feel more confident of a shooter having a little bit higher base magnification. I wouldn't even call 3-power high, but higher than some out there in the market. So, but they feel more comfortable and confident shooting behind a 3-power, maybe even higher base magnification, where they can take a good, nice, tight shot. You know, they want the whole head of the hog in the viewfinder screen when they take a shot, because it makes it, you know, with the saying, Jason, you know, aim small, miss small.
Right.
So there's a lot of people out there. And I would say that coyote hunters, hog hunters, there's a lot of crossover in between. It would be good for any of those hunters, but there's some special ones I think it'd be.
I think it's good for a hog hunter, as long as you're not the guy who's spotting and stalking and getting 20, 30, 40 yards away from your hogs on every shot, which is really what I like to do. It can still be done. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I know you and I've both done it. There are more scopes right now on the market that are a actual 3-power base magnification than probably any other magnification. It didn't used to be that way. 3-power was kind of an anomaly. We had 1.5s and 2s and 2.5s and 4s and 5s. And now there are 3-powers just dumping into the market. And I think it's because it is a good crossover. It's for a guy who you know, maybe he's not going to be shooting 150 yards all the time, but he needs to be able to shoot 150 or 200 or 250, but he might also need to be shooting 40 or 50. I do think that three works there. To be honest, I'm selling more three power scopes to hog hunters than probably any other magnification. Again, a lot of people don't spot and stalk like we do and get quite as close.
You're right. I think it's just a good base mag because, like you said, there was a lot of 1.5 and 2, and then it jumped all the way up to 4 and 5. You know, there wasn't this middle three power, not a lot of it. And now you're starting to see a lot more of it. And I just think it's just a perfect magnification level for a lot of people.
Again, you're right. It's more than I want. It's just for the way that I shoot. Two is fine or better, but I can use three. I've used a lot of three powers in the last 12 months, right. and I like it, and it's definitely doable. So I don't want to scare away any potential hog hunters. At the same time, if you're a coyote hunter and you say, man, listen, I'm always going to be shooting 150, 200 yards, then I think you need to get more than three. I think you need to be looking at something like that Ricoh 384 that's a four power.
Oh, that's great.
Or looking into a 640, you know, like the Ricoh 640 that's, you know, three power, but in a high resolution. So, no, I agree with that. I think it's just a good all-around magnification. If you've heard us talk about any of these other three power scopes, we're going to say the same thing. This falls right in line with that. I think image quality wise, this is an absolutely very strong competitor. And I'm going to say this, and I think to some people it probably sounds like a little bit of a cop out, but it's not. And I'm going to finish on this. But right now, between that $3,000, $3,100 mark and that, you know, $4,200 to $4,500 mark, all of the 384 resolution optics is, I could take them all and I could line one up and say, well, this one I think is a little better image than this one. And this one's a little better than this one. And I think you could come along behind me and I say, you the listener. I mean, and I think you could say, you could look through them and you might start swapping. Well, I maybe think this one's a little better. That one, and I couldn't argue with you because I feel like from the quote bottom to the top in this $1,200 to $1,500 price range, I think we're splitting hairs, okay? I do think there's some, honestly, that I believe are a little bit better, but again, we're splitting hairs. So it's amazing how so many different manufacturers have been able to just, it's like watching the Olympics and these guys running races, and they're just like everybody is right up there in the same pack, you know? And that's what I think we're seeing with these scopes. So anyway, that's my two cents on it. I think it's a great optic. I agree with who Han says it's good for. I think it's a really good all around optic for AR or bolt shooters.
Yeah. So if you are interested in purchasing the iRay Bolt TL35, or you want to hear more information, you want to hear more about iRay products, give us a call, 877-350-1818. You can find everything and more on the OutdoorLegacyGear.com website. That's Outdoor Legacy Gear. We would love to talk to you about this or any thermal or night vision optic. We specialize in it all. As Jason talked about, we test everything. Jason, and we're not saying this to brag, but both him and I have a pile of thermal scopes and optics and monoculars that we have at all times that we're testing. We've got sometimes more scopes than rifles So we are trying to balance them all and get all this information out to you so you can make an educated decision and guess. You know, we want to make sure that when you call us, you've got a question that we can give you some in the field experience with it, how it's going to perform. You know, ideally, guys, what we would love, and I know what all of you would love, is just to be able to walk somewhere or drive somewhere and hold up all these optics and look at them yourself before you make a decision. You know, that's not the reality of the industry right now. And the best that we can do is to provide and put out this content, hunt with this stuff, give you the best advice that we can give you based on the way that you're hunting and your application. And that way, when you make a decision, along with all the information that you gather yourself, you'll be able to make a decision that's going to make you happy and make you have fun out there when you hunt. And that's the whole plan and what we try to do. We want to make sure that we take the confusion out of night vision and thermal hunting. And at the same time, make sure you get the best bang for the buck, that you're picking the right optic. There's a lot of choices out there, more than ever. And we are excited about it. It's good for our industry. All these new brands, all these new optics, it is showing and proving the popularity of what we're doing. You know, when Jason and I started doing this and really hunting in general, it was to stop a problem. And the problem was getting rid of hogs. It wasn't really, it was a little bit, you know, for the business was, you know, to sell night vision thermal optics, but we never envisioned it would be what it is right now. Am I right, Jason?
No,
I
mean, you're exactly right.
Never would have dreamed it would be as popular as it is. We did this again. And, you know, for me, it was about getting rid of a problem on our land, our family's land. And then it kind of evolved into what it is now, but the growth has been crazy, and it's all because of you and the fans of this show. So if you would like to find out more information, about Outdoor Legacy, you can do so on Facebook, on Instagram, on YouTube. You have its own YouTube channel, Outdoor Legacy. Also, if you want to find out, if you're looking for more reviews, you want to see through the scope video or through the optic video, you can do so at my YouTube channel. It's Hans ETX. That's Hans ETX on YouTube. You can find me on Instagram, Hans ETX, over there as well. Showed a lot of pictures of optics we're testing, some hijinks, you know, some funny stuff, some serious stuff. So you can follow me over there and appreciate it. Thank y'all for tuning in. As always, I know there's people out there that Jason, that you and I talk to, that listen every week without fail. And then you have a lot of people that listen every 3 or 4 weeks, but they binge, you know, listen the episodes they missed in between times when they're on a road trip or something. But we appreciate it all.
We do.
It's the reason why we do it. And we thank you so much.
We do. We appreciate all our listeners. Thank y'all for coming back this week. Again, we hope to see y'all next week on, again, the Late Night Vision Show. We appreciate all the support and all the feedback. And between now and next week, y'all stay safe in the fields and keep making those bacon pancakes.